Revelation chapter 7. Well, in the last two chapters, we've seen Jesus opening the seals that are closing the scroll, which is the book of life. So these are events that are going to happen in the last days, because the book of life is going to be opened when Jesus comes back, and the dead will be judged. Those who are responsible to Jesus will be judged from the things that are written there, and those who have believed in him will be given eternal life. Their names will not be taken out of that book of life. So, after this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, and I said that the earth often means the land. The land promised to Abraham. That's how it's used in the Old Testament. That's the area from the Mediterranean right up to the great river Euphrates. That's the focus of Bible prophecy. They were holding back the four winds so that no wind should blow on the land or the sea or against any tree. And I saw another angel coming up from the east with the seal of the living God. Now he called with a loud voice to those four angels to whom God had given the authority to hurt the earth and the sea. The angel said, "Don't hurt the land, the sea, nor the trees until we seal the servants of our God with a mark on their foreheads." Now, the forehead is like where your mind is. I think that's the idea, that that's your mind. So God's faithful people are going to be marked. And I was told the number of those who had been sealed on their foreheads, and it was 144,000. They were from the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe. So that could mean that these are the Jews within the land of Israel who are going to be preserved in the last days. Just as when the plagues came upon Egypt, the people of God, the Israelites, were preserved. And that could be the idea here. Or it could be that these people, the 144,000, that's 12 times 12, it could mean that it's like the 12 apostles times multiplied by the 12 tribes of Israel, that this is all the true Christians who are based upon the hope of Israel, because we are, as Christian believers, the new Israel, Israel after the Spirit. And the basis of the gospel is what Paul calls the hope of Israel, the promises made to Abraham. After this, I looked, and there was a great crowd that could not be numbered. Well, I think I'd go with the first of the suggestions I made, that the 144,000 are the Israelites, the Jews, within the land who are going to be sealed, presumably because they have been faithful in their foreheads, in their hearts, in their minds. They've accepted the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Jesus. And then there is this great crowd which can't be numbered, from every tribe, nation, language, from every race and kind of people. Well, that rather looks to me like this is the seed of Abraham. All those down the years who have walked in the steps of the faith of Abraham, who are the seed of Abraham, who have been baptized into Jesus, who was the seed of Abraham. So they are the fulfillment of those promises. And they stand before the throne and before the Lamb, in white robes, with palm branches held in their hands, calling out with a loud voice, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne, to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne. The four living creatures and the elders were there, and they also cast themselves down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, all praise, all glory, all wisdom, all power and honor and strength to our God for ever and ever. Amen." One of the elders asked me, "Who are these people dressed in white robes, and where have they come from?" "I do not know, sir," I replied. He said to me, "These are those who have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now, this great tribulation, Jesus said, when he was giving the signs of his return, that in the last days there would be great tribulation. So it does seem that there will be what is called the Great Tribulation. So again, maybe this great crowd are people from all over the world, from all nations, who have gone through this suffering in the last days, that there will be some kind of tribulation, and yet they don't lose their faith. So we're told that is why they stand before God's throne and serve him all day and all night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them his presence, and never again will they hunger or thirst, nor shall the sun or any hurtful heat ever strike them, because the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, will lead them as their shepherd, and will guide them to springs of water that give eternal life. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Well, that is later repeated about us. So isn't this wonderful that finally, whoever this group of people are, and as I say, I think it does refer to all of us who are believers, particularly to those who go through the great time of testing that's going to come in the last days, God will wipe away our tears from our eyes. How amazing is that? If you can imagine us standing before Jesus at the last day, at the day of judgment, and he says, well done, you're going to be in my kingdom. Enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And you think, wow, everlasting life in front of me. Thank you, Jesus. But I think your only response is going to be to cry, because it will be tears of joy, as well as tears will be looking back at the awful trauma that you've been through, realizing it's all over now. And God will wipe our tears from our eyes. That's what you do to a child, isn't it? You wipe their tears away from their eyes. And God himself is going to do that to us. This is a wonderful hope. And it's not a hobby. It's not just that we believe this a little bit and, well, we hope it's true. And that's what my parents taught me. Or, that's what my church believes. No, this is true for each of us. That we will be there. And God will wipe away all our tears from off all faces. God himself. Because God is real. God is a personal being. And he actually exists. We're made in his image. So we are, persons. And he also has a form, a physical appearance. He's not a puff of cloud. He's not a bit of smoke up in the sky. He's not an idea. He's a real, actual person who really exists in heaven. And we are going to see his face with joy. Yeah, God is real. That's a simple point. And we will see God. And as Job says in the Old Testament, whom my eyes will see for myself and not another. In other words, nobody else will quite enter into the personal wonder of the fact that I have a real Father who is God. And I'm going to see him. And we will be with him forever and ever and ever. Now, that hope is worth everything. That hope is worth passing through this great tribulation. This hope is worth giving your life for. People say, all right, here's a Christian here, I'm going to shoot you. Yep, okay, take my life. And yet also, well, maybe that won't be demanded of us, but all the same, we give our lives in other ways. We're to pour out our lives, the best of our strength, when we're young people, when we're strong, or even when we're old. Whatever, you give what you've got.